Welcome to the Non-Traditional Pharmacist Podcast, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network. The Non-Traditional Pharmacist provides the pharmacist professional ideas to help you think outside the box. Pharmacy is evolving fast, and this podcast is all about the evolution of the pharmacist role in healthcare. And now, here is the Non-Traditional Pharmacist team, Lynn, Matt, and Nick.
Matt Paterini here with the Non-Traditional Pharmacist. Welcome to tonight's episode. We're joined by Danielle Brill of Needham & Company. She is Vice President of Equity Research. So we will get into that here in just a little bit. But, you know, at the Non-Traditional Pharmacist, we are constantly getting inquiries, questions about how pharmacists can apply their skills to business and industry. So I think Danielle's going to bring a very unique perspective today to some of those roles. She's got a very unique role in equity research and conducting valuation research of biotechnology companies. So if you could describe kind of your path through pharmacy, kind of your background, what you've done from pharmacy school, and kind of how you got to your role today.
Sure. So I not only have a non-traditional pharmacy career, but I also had a non-traditional path into pharmacy school. I first got a bachelor's in science at Michigan State, and I moved to New York City where I worked in a research lab for drug development in lymphoma for a couple of years before I decided that I wanted to go and pursue my PharmD. I was debating between medical school and a PhD at the time. I didn't know much about the PharmD, and my mentor actually said that if you're interested in pharmacology and you like the clinical aspect, that a PharmD was the route to go. So I went to Rutgers Pharmacy School, and I had thought that I was going to be a clinical pharmacist. I applied for a PGY1 residency. I had already fully committed to the clinical path, but during my experiential rotations, I did a elective rotation here at Needham. My husband actually works in finance on Wall Street, and I had always like wondered what those people were up to. So I thought I'd just check it out, and I actually found it super fascinating. At that point, I'd already committed to my residency and was on my way, but I stayed in touch with my boss here at Needham, and a few years later, he actually reached out to me to see if I was interested in a role. So I went for it, and it's been about 3 years, and I love it, and I think it's a great opportunity for pharmacists, so I can't wait to dive in a little bit more.
Yeah, excellent. That's a great story. Did you ever think at any point of stopping residency, or you know, even though you had committed to changing paths sooner rather than later?
No, I actually think that the residency enhances the ability to perform research better. Having that clinical knowledge and like understanding how P&T committees work and what goes into formulary processes, and the deeper understanding of drugs in general, as much as you can know about them, is very useful for this role.
So what is biotechnology equity research? And you mentioned Wall Street. Are you like the Wolf of Wall Street of pharmacists?
Basically. That's about sums it up. Yeah. So basically, we conduct research on companies that are traded publicly that are developing drugs. And, you know, we have like our big pharma companies like Pfizer, Merck. And then we have our smaller guys, and those are our biotech companies. So a lot of these companies don't have drugs on the market. They're all in development. We're finding pipelines that we think are exciting, things that are addressing unmet needs, or where there's definitely, you know, a lack of available therapies. And we're first evaluating the science. And then we also, there's a financial component where you have to model out the revenues, the potential revenues, and make a recommendation to investors on whether you think they should invest in the stock.
So you conduct all of the clinical and the more scientific research of a potential company to then advise investors and whether that's an appropriate investment or not.
Yes. You also have to tie in the financial stuff too.
Financial stuff, very important. Yes, nothing without the money. That's true. That's true. So what exactly is your role? I mean, you touched on it a little bit, you know, of conducting research, but kind of walk us through day to day what you do. You know, how is this job for your work-life balance and those sorts of things?
Okay. Well, you know, you have to be really excited about the stock market and in the news flow, and things are crazy all of the time. It is not a job that you should pursue if you don't love working, because the quality of life is not one of the perks of this role. But it is never boring. It is always exciting. The day-to-day can vary substantially. Really, news flow can dictate how your day goes. But I guess, to give you some, frame it for you in some way, I'm now covering names on my own. So I worked under analysts when I started out, and now I'm going to be my own covering analyst. So in order to do that, you have to initiate coverage on companies. And basically, that's just a deep dive into everything the company's doing. You do a pipeline analysis, competitive analysis. You just go in as deep as you can. You write up a long report, launch coverage, and then from that point on, you follow the company as they progress. So I'm working on initiating on a bunch of names right now. It takes up a lot of time, but we travel a lot. There's a lot of medical conferences. You're going around to meet management teams. You're taking management teams around to see investors. You're going around to talk to investors to give them stock ideas. There's a lot. It's really exciting.
And you mentioned that you had a rotation, or you met someone in this field through pharmacy school. Let's back up a second to how you got introduced to this field in the first place.
Sure. So Rutgers actually offers a rotation here at Needham. And I'm sure that other schools, we don't see any other schools, but we'd be happy to have students from other schools. I did actually have one student reach out to me to ask if I would be a preceptor. And they had, I don't know what they have to do with, you know, the coordinators to add us as a site. But there are a few other pharmacists also in the field, so it is an option. But for me, yeah, we get Rutgers students that come in here, come through to rotate, usually only a few a year. I think they're scared, but that's how I stumbled into it, and I loved it. So,
would you recommend a certain type of person pursue a rotation like that, or would you recommend every pharmacy student, if they get the opportunity, to do a rotation? I mean, you probably will say everyone should do it, but you know, different personalities, different types of people, certain role fit people better.
I would, you know, originally I would have said everybody, but I know people in my class who did this rotation and hated it, so I know it's not for everyone. You know, anyone who's considering maybe a career in industry would like this rotation. I think Rutgers also has like the fellowship program. I think that this might be better suited for people that are pursuing that route. Anyone who really wants to be like part of the medical team rounding in the hospital, as much as I thought that was me, this probably really isn't for them.
No, that's fair enough. And we're seeing more and more roles in different areas. And that's part of, you know, what we're trying to do here at the Nontraditional Pharmacists, expose some of those. I think, you know, pharmacy students and pharmacists included, look at pharmacy and kind of see a narrow focus of roles, but there's a lot of different things out there. But with Wall Street specifically, what other roles are there for pharmacists besides biotechnology evaluation research?
So I would say the vast majority start out or stay in biotech research. You know, it's just a natural fit. So the people in biotech equity research are MDs, PhDs, or now happily growing PharmDs. But from there, you know, a lot of people go to either what we call the buy side. So those are the people that are actually buying the stocks. They work at hedge funds or big asset managers. That's one path. You can go to sales and trading if that's something for you. And a lot of people also will transition over to the corporate side, and they will work in investor relations or in strategy for biotech or pharma companies.
Okay, so there are a number of kind of branching paths stemming from what sounds like the best fit is in biotech equity research. But so for you personally, long-term, how does this role match with where you thought you would be after pharmacy school? And how is it helping you get to where you ultimately want to be long-term in pharmacy?
Oh man, I'm still figuring out where I ultimately want to be. But, you know, my career has always been super important to me, and I've always wanted to feel challenged and excited by what I do. And I do love learning about new drugs, and this is the full package. And I never really thought I cared about the numbers stuff. I'm not sure that I really do all that much, but honestly, when you're looking at these companies, they're all in development stages, and the science and what they're in the pipelines is really what it's all about.
Yeah. Sometimes you're just surprised with what clicks and what you end up liking doing. And, you know, I would encourage everyone to explore those options, because you never know what might actually be a big interest for yourself personally. What about the landscape of biotech equity research? Is the demand growing for pharmacists? Are the opportunities growing? What does it look like moving forward into the future?
So the field of equity research itself is becoming a bit more challenging, because just the way that the financial world works, it's people and the way that they pay for research is becoming a lot more stringent. So the quality of research has to be better. You have to dig deeper. There's a lot of like channel checking, being experts. You have to be creative, look at things from a different angle, not just the same, looking at it the same way that every other research analyst on the street is doing it. So, you know, people are always kind of surprised when they hear PharmD, because they're so used to dealing with PhDs, and I guess to even more common still than PharmDs, MDs, but PhDs really dominate the field, and they don't have that same like broad knowledge of drugs that pharmacists do. They're very narrow in their focus. So I think that pharmacists can add a lot, and I think there is a demand for more of them in equity research.
It sounds like a role that, yes, it would not be for everyone in pharmacy, and I can think of people that would not be interested. I can think of people that would be very, very interested. What advice would you give to people who are interested in learning more, or what advice would you give to them if they're looking to pursue a career in this area?
I would tell them to try to get an internship. First of all, it's the best way in business is who you know, not what you know. It's very true. So that would be one step. The financial modeling is always the deficit for pharmacists. So if I took a course called like Breaking into Wall Street. It's pretty cheap. It teaches you basic modeling. That opens a lot of doors for people. They like to see the clinical science background, but then they like to see that you have some idea of what you're doing when it comes to modeling. You know, networking, obviously. Find me on LinkedIn. There's other pharmacists out there. We all find each other on Wall Street. So that's really a great way to get your foot in the door.
Okay, fantastic. Where would people go to learn more about the industry? Resources, other contacts maybe, or you know, where are some places people could do some of their own research?
So I would say, so like Breaking into Wall Street is one of the sites, Wall Street Oasis. There's this other site, you can actually apply for jobs on there, Dropout Club. So people who have dropped out of being doctors and want to go work in finance, that's kind of the club for them. So I think all of those are great avenues.
That's perfect. That's awesome. We like to conclude, Danielle, with the same question. What do you think is the future of the pharmacy profession?
Well, I'm not in the clinic anymore, but I wholeheartedly hope that the pharmacy profession keeps gravitating towards becoming more clinical. I hope that pharmacists evolve to become clinicians in the community and really integrate within medical teams. And I also hope that we branch out more and start exploring other avenues like finance.
Thank you so much, Danielle. Thanks for joining us today. Please share this post and connect with Danielle on LinkedIn. Reach out to us, the Nontraditional Pharmacist, for her contact information. There you have it, the wolf of Pharmacy Wall Street, Danielle Brill. Thanks again so much. We appreciate you coming on, the Nontraditional Pharmacist, part of the Pharmacy Podcast Network.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for listening to the Nontraditional Pharmacist. Be sure to share this podcast with your work associates, your professional network, and remember, always be thinking outside the pillbox.